What's up, guys? I hope you guys are doing great. We're finally back with the Iron Collective podcast. We're feeling a little goofy today.
Nah.
We have
not me.
We have Brian and Nathan here with us today.
The final three.
Yeah. Has it been every week that? Well, I guess we haven't done this for a while, but every podcast that one last
Someone's
person,
missing, yeah,
yeah, because yeah.
Oh,
the first
we have
one was
last
Luke,
person? Yeah, no.
Yeah, first one was Luke, and then it was Rob, and now it's just us three.
Yeah, who's gonna be the next one gone?
Stay tuned, find out. Throw in your lottery picks. Yeah. Who's gonna make it
next week? It's either gonna be
episode 4,
me and Brian, or me and Nathan, or Nathan and Brian. What that would be?
Nah, we need you, bro. We need
or
you,
just Brian.
Yeah. Or no, we didn't plan on taking a break or anything. We just had life hit all of us. Me and my wife moved apartments. We got into a bigger apartment. We're in a 2-bedroom.
It's nice.
Very so
nice.
We're in our guest bedroom right now.
It's real nice.
I'm loving it.
It's cozy.
It's always nice to have a little bit more space.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, you've been here. Nathan, you haven't moved. We've had friends that have moved, and it's just been hard.
Well, we moved too, technically.
Oh, you did?
Mama J's house. To
Yep.
That's right. Everyone's been moving, and
I think I counted moves that we've done this year. So you know, like Tony's brother moved as well. You know, they moved. Right. I counted 14 moves this year.
That's crazy.
Oh my god,
14. That's almost like two
right.
a month.
That's crazy.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
But we're actually moving tomorrow.
No, we figured it's been long overdue now. Hopefully we can get into some schedule now, some routine, and keep on pumping out some podcasts.
Yep.
We love what we do here. We love to just talk and have conversations that hopefully will challenge you guys and your thoughts. And have you guys thinking of, you know, godly things. And it's not that we always do, but this is our way of challenging ourselves. And we want to think on godly things and highly things and just, you know, see what each other are thinking about. We all have, like, some amazing mindsets. I have, like, the best friends in the world, and I want to share that with everyone. So today, I kind of have a thought of where I want to go with some things, and I quickly shared it with the guys, and they were just saying, let's just press play. Let's not waste good talks. Let's just press play and just start recording. So main thought I kind of had was something that, what's her name? ODG woman.
Elizabeth Elliott.
Elizabeth Elliott, yeah. Elizabeth Elliott actually said, she said that we as Christians are not to separate the secular and the spiritual.
Mm.
Okay. We're not to separate the secular and the spiritual. Before we go anywhere else, what would you guys say that is? Like
the difference or?
Yeah, like what do you think that means to not separate the secular and the spiritual?
Mm.
It's because I think that could go a few different ways, but what would you say she's trying to get at with that?
Mm.
Maybe for people who don't know. Or to refresh our memory.
Yeah.
It's hard to answer that question because you can't answer it without separating them.
Yeah.
It's like, but I would say it's basically including God or not including God in the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it either includes God or it's not including God. But it's hard because, you know, obviously, you know, she's saying that you're not supposed to separate it. Maybe, I'm assuming, off the thought that God is involved in everything, so you can't separate
right.
something that God's not a part of because he's everywhere and everything,
yeah.
created everything, so
yeah.
it's impossible. Mm-hmm. But there is a spiritual, secular divide. I guess practically, like you can, in a sense, like leave God out of the picture, but you can't. I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
No, yeah.
Help me out here.
My fault.
Help me out, bro. Tap me in. What was it?
Tap me in. In First John, it talks about, or it's a letter from John, and I did like a pretty, I don't want to say like insanely extensive study on First John, but I did a study on First John, and the group of people that he's talking to is a group of Gnostic Christians that are stuck, or not even stuck, like just these people are having the same questions or having the same problems with, at least at this time, with Christ's divinity and his humanity. It's like, was he actually fully man? Was he, you know, like they were kind of separating the two. And I was listening to a podcast, and I don't know if, or whoever's listening out there, you got to listen to this man. He does a whole series called Unlocking the Bible. And his name is David Pawson. David Pawson has great insight when it comes to the Word of God, especially if you have a hard time finding like the history behind or the context of Scripture or anything like that. Like, he has really, really good insight and great resources to go search those things out for yourself, you know? So in First John, talking to a group of Gnostic Christians, and they're having this same dilemma of when they're looking at Jesus, it's like, was he fully man? Was he fully God? I think one of the beliefs that they had was that basically Christ had not come upon Jesus until he got baptized, until the dove had rested on, or the Spirit rested on Jesus like a dove, you know, like that. Whenever that happened, then Christ had rested upon Jesus, and then whenever he was on the cross before he died, it says that he gave up his spirit. So then they were like, oh, well, then Christ left him before he died. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that was something that some of the things that the Gnostic Christians believed. And it's because even the Pharisees and like the people in that time, they were like, the flesh is bad. I'm in a meat prison. Like, this flesh is, you know, like this is secular, this is bad. But that's not necessarily true, you know? That's not necessarily true, because your body is just as important as what you do in the spiritual realm, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But no, what are you going to say? Sorry, what are you going to say?
No, well, honestly, that just made me think of where I heard this at. I think it was a quote that said, like, when you try to have that divide, is because you're trying to avoid present responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh, like, this life is such a, this body's a burden. Like, oh, temporary. Yep. Like, let's just focus on things eternal. So let's not do work now. Let's not, you know.
Yeah, let's not take care of our bodies. Let's not be responsible with the way that we eat. Let's not be responsible with.
Yeah, poor people always be poor. So, you know, the best thing we can do is pass them an eternal inheritance. So let's not do charity work. Like, you know, it's almost like you just focus on. Yeah, I guess like heaven, eternity.
Yeah, and that's basically what the Pharisees did, you know? Like, Jesus at one point called out, he was like calling out the Pharisees like back to back to back. They were like, he was just saying like, you're whitewashed tombs, you're vipers, you're snakes. And then one of the things that he says, actually to start the whole, you know, bashing of the Pharisees, he's like, listen to what the Pharisees say, because what they say, some of the things that they say is true.
It's good, yeah.
But do not do what they do.
Right.
But what they do not do that. Don't follow what they do, because they don't even practice what they preach, you know?
So, do as they say, not as they do.
Exactly. Yeah. And they had a very, you know, and it's very hard. It's very hard for me even to say this, but like they had some. They had pretty extensive knowledge of Torah, you know,
scripture
and all that stuff. But even then, they still, you know, like, even though they had like their mind on heavenly things, they were they weren't actually thinking of anything like earthly. They weren't thinking of now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They weren't thinking of like your physical body. They're not thinking about how can we help our brothers, the people right. that, you know what I'm saying? They're not thinking about the here and now, what we could do here now and on earth.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. And Jesus, he always challenged like our idea of religion. Like he always, I love how he said pure and undefiled religion is like taking care of the orphan and the widow.
Yep.
So it's almost like he's saying like, no, what you're doing now in the present with the needs of the people around you, that is.
That's good.
Outright purity and holiness. Like, just do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's cool is, bro, I've met people in a way have devoted their life to that, to, like, taking care of the needs of, you know, maybe, like, the homeless or, like, an orphanage or widows. Bro, if you meet someone that runs that kind of organization or has any kind of work in that kind of organization, you know, maybe, like, sounds like secular stuff, like feeding, you know, meeting practical needs.
Yeah.
Bro, there are the holiest people you meet.
Yeah.
So kind, so sweet.
Very selfless.
Full of joy, selfless, full of peace. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a lot of work. Like, they're feeding people. They're taking it. It's like, dude, this has been the best person I talked to all day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this, so that actually goes into exactly what I was wanted to talk about, which was that, so, like, not separating the secular and the spiritual would most likely mean that even the little mundane things in life are a very spiritual thing still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like everything has more of a value than maybe you think it does.
Yeah.
Because everything is spiritual. On the flip side of that, though, what Nathan was talking about was that, which was the other aspect, was that we can be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. Which is kind of where the Pharisees lied, where they knew so much of Torah that they separated themselves from where they were actually at, which was leading the people. They forgot about the people completely. Mm-hmm. They were just thinking about spiritual. They completely forgot about the secular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what I'm trying to say is that like there's a somewhere in between that God wants us to be, I think, where we can actually like just make sense of things. Because we love Jesus so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like things make sense because our mind is now rewired almost to see everything as spiritual. Like see people for their true value.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I remember whenever I was a wee one. Not a wee one.
But a wee lad.
A wee lad.
This
was actually sometime in late 2018, I want to say.
Boy, you're a grown man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an old man now.
Boy, we're paying taxes.
No, but I didn't really know where I kind of wanted to go, but I knew that I wanted to do something in ministry. And Brian, actually, he's the one that kind of told me. He was like, well, I mean, you just got to analyze where you're at. Like, you know you want to do something in ministry. You don't have, like, a career right now. You might be in school. Why don't you just kind of find the next thing that leads to the next ministerial part of what you want to do, which is what you really want to do? I'm like, yeah, eventually. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. So there were talks about an internship going on. And he was like, for me, that just makes sense. You know, that just makes sense. Like, it was never, like, this big revelation. It wasn't, like fasting or prayer or something in the Bible. That I took out of it, it just made sense for my life, you know? And so it's almost that of like being so heavenly minded where we're of no earthly good and we almost take the common sense out of it, you know? Like, oh, like it's my Sabbath today. I can't help this person today. You know, it's like, where there's like, where there is like that balance of like, is it more, beneficial for me to spend time with Jesus right now or with this person? And I know that comes down to like a few different like contingencies, but contingency has been our word lately. But anyway, I'm sure you guys know where I'm trying to go with this. What's your guys' thoughts whenever I talk about this?
Yeah, I think being of no earthly good, like, so, and I remember, you know, something we've always talked about is, What does it look like to have a mind in love with God? Mm-hmm. Yes. And we would challenge that idea that actually it's impossible to have a mind in love with God and, you know, be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Like, that's true in theory, but in practice, I've witnessed people worship, you know, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah.
Where it's like, bro, you're so devoid of just love, like the Holy Spirit. You know, you're so maybe enamored about the idea of God and theology and all these, like, I don't know. It makes me think of the word sin. You know, sin, we've always defined it as, you know, the according to the Bible, it's like missing the mark. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're still missing the mark, bro. Like, you're, you know, devoid of relationships. You're devoid of like Jesus said, pure and undefiled religion. Like, you're just so caught up in this ivory tower that you forget what the common folk want and need, you know, which is just, I don't know, a brother, a sister, like, to be there with someone. I don't know. So it's a weird thing to talk about. I remember, Steve Hankins. I remember I was talking to him one time and he said, how do you phrase this? Man, I can't even remember. You know how he had like a way of like saying jokes that just slipped right in there. Like, I was like, what? But we were talking about like Christian colleges and seminary, and somehow he's like, like, man, when people go off to seminary, they go to the cemetery or something. I don't even know what he said. So it's like, I was having a hard time.
That's awesome.
Like finding the verbiage to even describe what I was trying to say to him, and then he just comes out with that joke, and I was like, you get what I'm saying. Like, it's like people go to study God and get their mind in love with God, and but then all of a sudden they lose a sense of practicality and just realness, and you're like, what is that about? Like, how's that? How does that correlate?
It's literally all the knowledge without the responsibility. It's all the knowledge without any action, and that was the Pharisees' problem, is that they had a lot of knowledge about the Torah, but they did nothing with what
they knew.
They knew. They did nothing with it. You know, they just they had spiritual and biblical knowledge for the sake of having spiritual and biblical knowledge, not for the sake of living and pleasing God. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, I really do think it's, I feel like at the point of lives that we're in, the season of life that we're in, I feel that we are in a point where it's like, we do know a lot, you know? Yeah. So I don't know for all the people that I'm talking to what season of life you're in, but ask yourself, like, where am I at? Where am I at? Because that's a real thing. Cause I think that theology is important. I think that having right thoughts about God is important. You know, obviously we had this conversation a couple podcasts ago about how God thoughts about you is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then was it Tozer that saying, like, you think about God is the most important thing, whatever, you know, in that whole debate, whatever. But it's, you know, and I know theology is really important, all that stuff, but it's like, if you have all these right thoughts about God, or if you have all this amazing, you know, theological understanding of how the Bible works and contextual things, and maybe you're right on a lot of things, but you have no real fruit. You have no real fruit in your actual life. Your character's not becoming more like Jesus. Mm. You're not more loving. You're not more caring. You're not more empathetic. Mm. You're not more mindful of the people around you, you know, stuff like
that. It's crazy how much that plays itself out even in, like, in principle. Like, if you think of a politician, if they're, in a sense, like, just in the White House, dealing with policies, dealing with law, dealing with what they think is best for the country, for the people, but they're not, like, with the people, in communities, visiting schools and, like, you know, hospitals, like, if they're actually involved in what's going on in America and with whatever they're trying to make policies in, then they're totally devoid of the heart of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think they can get lost. And, you know, while you were talking, I think it hit me that the true mark of both, like being an astute theologian, having, like, right heart and mind and all that, is the mark of that is how you treat people who do know less than you.
Mm.
Like if someone is truly wise, if someone is truly learned and someone says something theologically off, your response to their statement and what they believe will say worlds about you.
Mm.
Like imagine like I'm talking to Gianna, my daughter, when she's older, and if she says something totally like off the rails, something totally bogus that she believes to be true about the world, and I'm like, you, and I just like demean her.
Yeah,
are you serious? What's wrong? Like, why would you think? So obviously me as, this sounds so stupid, but this is just the way it's coming to mind. Like as like a higher being, more learned, more knowledgeable and wise.
Yeah,
if I'm truly more knowledgeable and wise, I'm going to know the way to help her understand and see the world the way it actually is. So like if you're a true theologian, if you know the Bible and you hear another pastor or another fellow Christian say something that's maybe not totally right, theologically correct about the Bible, and you have the better view, and your response is like, gosh, this guy, like, what an idiot, like, what a shame to Christianity. If that's your response, that's scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if your response is just like, man, like, yeah, let's have coffee, like, let's talk about it. Let's see why you believe this scripture that, you know, why you interpret it this way. Like, let's talk about it.
Mm.
Versus, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it becomes less about people and more about you being right and being better than others. You know, it's like.
And then as if the person making that claim, like as if you have perfect theology, like let's sit you in front of the man upstairs. You know, let's sit you in front of God and see what he
sits in front of. Tim Keller.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm gonna rip you apart. But he's dead.
Yeah. That would never happen with Gianna.
I love you, Tim Keller.
She's the cutest thing.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I think she's going to... I honestly, no cap, I think she's going to teach me the right way of the world. You know what I'm saying? That's what children do. They show you everything simple and...
You hear this, Gianna? You have big food, big shoes to fill. Big foos to show. Big foos to fill. That was just funny. That's cool. No, and I guess, like, not to play devil's advocate, but then to think of the opposite, because I, even though it is true that, like we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no of earthly good, I think it's Jason Bell that actually counters that, and is like, I would like to challenge that thought and say. Like, how about, like, I'd rather be more heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good than be so earthly minded that I'm no heavenly good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And.
Well, that's what G.K. Chesterton says.
Oh, Chesterton says that?
I literally have it here in my notes here.
Come on, baby.
G.K. Chesterton says, it's far worse to be so earthly minded that you're of no earthly
good.
Heavenly good. Yeah.
Fire.
And I think that. That's an even scarier thought because of the mundane things of life, we can kind of get lost in, we can just get lost in that. We can get lost in the routine of life that we forget to be like when it says in Psalms 1 to meditate day and night on the law of the Lord, like to be planted next to the streams of water. It's like, are we actually like that? Like, are we actually thinking about heavenly things? Because, you know, I feel that, like, naturally, if you're thinking about heavenly things, you're meditating on godly things, then they will turn into, you know, action. Like, it will turn into action because, like, we say thoughts leads to actions leads to habits leads to character leads to destiny, and all of that stems from your thought life, because this is kind of like where, you know, this is where everything's birthed from. Exactly. in your thought life.
Yep.
But that's why, and that's why kind of going back to the secular and the spiritual, that's why I almost feel that it's, you can look at it separately, but also together in a way that, like, they coincide, because I think or coexist together, because we can look at the word like secular, and David Pawson, he says nothing secular but sin, like that, like sin is like, or when we say secular, it doesn't necessarily mean, and maybe he words that a little different, but like secular doesn't necessarily mean it's sin. It just means that it's not necessarily like if you work at a secular job, it's outside of a ministry setting. Aspect or setting, yes, yeah, yeah, or yeah. Like yeah. A church or spiritual religious setting. Mm-hmm. And that would be, because I work at a secular job, I work for a roofing company, but that doesn't mean it's a sinful, you know, does that make sense? It's like, yeah. You know, it's that's separating secular and spiritual. When you look at yes, spiritual being heavenly minded, and then also secular being in the world, not of it, you know, that we have to put them together. You know, we have to put them together and say, what I think can't stay here. It has to go in my daily living. But also, you can't just go daily living and not thinking about heavenly things either. Like, mm-hmm. And that needs to go. It needs to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that, like, what we do, like, you've said it before, Nathan. Like, we've talked about this before, where, like, yeah. It seems like everything that we do is actually trying to be found in the balance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to be too loving and not too, like, truth-correcting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, like,
yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle,
you yeah. Know, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all about the balance. But, like, whenever it comes to this, like, with our minds, like, it says to be transformed, like, we're transformed by the renewal of our minds. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we had to choose one side to lean on, like, our default should be to be more heavenly minded,
mm-hmm.
like to
mm-hmm.
always, like, default on the side of, like, well, what does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so
that's good.
Yeah,
that's sorry. So far. I mean, honestly, that just reminds me of what, bro, Pastor Larry has been on a roll these past few Sundays.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Like talking about, yeah, I mean, literally this, you know, having a mind in love with God, you know, girding up the loins of our mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yesterday, right? Yeah, yesterday was Sunday. More of like the practicality of like obeying God. And yeah, how it all starts in the mind.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, like you have to, everything that has ever expressed itself in the material would like start it off in the mind.
Mm.
You know, so like what you think about says a lot about you. And that's just true. Like that's just true.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to debate that.
Yeah. Because I remember he was saying, because you were talking about girding up the loins of your mind. He was saying that loins is very, like, when you say the word loins, it's very close related to, like, procreation. Or that's what it's saying. It's like, so it's like girding the loins of your mind is
the thing that's being created.
The birthplace of your thoughts.
The birthplace of your thoughts. That's actually where, whatever comes up here.
Yeah.
It's like I came from the loins of my dad, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then he came from the loins of his dad, and you know, so it's like loins is very, you know, closely related to procreation in that your thoughts procreate, like, or what your actions are, you know, what are being created in your mind, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think our biggest challenge is distractions. Of all kinds.
Yeah.
Just distractions like our own ambitions, our hobbies, our phones, like friendships sometimes, you know, like our own selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment, yeah.
Entertainment.
What do you feel? And I'm just going to kind of pause this just to be, what do you feel like has to happen? Because I remember there was a podcast, it was the Rising Tide podcast, and he like paused it for a second and was saying, He's like, I want to pause here real quick and say that we need to make, I think in the next years, in the next couple of years, we need to make big decisions about screens, you know, about what that's going to look like for this next generation. Because for a lot of people, you know, I think that screens can do a lot of good, or like your phones, like they can do a lot of good, but also... We're also seeing the other effect of having phones and doom scrolling and, mm-hmm. you know, and all the stuff that comes with having a phone. And like you said, talking about distractions, and it's like, well, I don't know. What do you feel needs to happen? because I know that we're talking about distractions, you know, and I feel that that's like a big, I guess like for me personally, that's a big battle in my life, like distractions, because like, yeah. you know, when I was growing up, like video games was just like a huge, like Caleb knows you, like, yeah. you know, like literally like yeah. the first time I ever like cursed was at a game, like yeah. a game. like I literally was playing.
Rage baited.
What was it? What was it?
Cursing.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Video games really rage baited me, like straight yeah. up. Like what game was it that you like, cause I remember what game it was.
There was a lot, but I think 2K.
It was
got
it.
You fired
it was
up.
It was it. 2K. And I Gosh. Remember Caleb would just come and say, "Bro, just be good." And I'm like, "Bro, shut up. Right. You want me to punch you?
I will punch you.
Like, just beat them.
Skill issue, bro.
Just beat them, Nathan. Just do it.
And don't miss.
Don't miss. How about that? Just do that." And I was like, "You know what? I don't."
Yeah. No.
He's rage baiting me.
By the way, if you want to see, I actually have videos of Nathan rage baiting still to this day on my phone.
Really?
If you want to see it, yeah, just come find me. I got the goods.
That's crazy. Yeah, I did not know he had that.
It's so funny.
Dang. You guys go ahead and get this podcast a like, and Caleb will send you that video.
Yeah.
To your personal inbox.
I'll put my Cash App.
Yeah.
Send me 50 cents.
No, I think what needs to happen is some sort of like EMP bomb to just take out technology for a while and just see what happens.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that'd be terrible. Never mind. Yeah. I don't know, dude. I think what's going to happen is a generation is going to arise that's more costly than ever before.
Mm.
Oh, explain that.
Yeah.
Like, I think the generation, the church that Jesus is coming back for is going to be like a hard fought generation for, like, because think about how many things that, I mean, even just in our generation, how many things we had to battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we lived in the age of information, the age of the rise of social media.
Yeah.
Like, we were at the genesis of it, but this next generation, like our younger siblings and, I mean, like our kids,
yeah.
they're going to live in such a crazy world, bro. A world of AI.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
World of, like, it's hard to distinguish what's real and what's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Of virtual reality.
Yeah.
Those two things, VR, AI. Mm-hmm. Freaking acronyms, bro. Like,
yeah.
Those two things are gonna challenge
very scary.
These next few decades. So it's like
yeah.
the generation that grows up in that
mm-hmm.
has to choose harder than ever to be like Christ, to be
yeah.
Christ-centered, to be
yeah.
Christ-minded.
Yeah,
you know, and I think more is at stake with that generation than ever before. And I think because of that fact, because it's when hard times come that, like, the best leaders arise.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we're going to see some of the best leaders
arise in those in the upcoming
that generations. Arise in that generation yeah. because they're going to have it the hardest yeah. than ever before, than all of our ancestors
yeah.
put together. Like,
yeah.
they're going to have to face some serious stuff, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
But I don't know. I could be wrong about that. I mean, I would say, like, if you look in the Bible times, like, bro, like, pagan, like, witchcraft and, you know, all these things were also very normal too. So
yeah.
it's kind of hard to say that this next generation is going to have it the hardest. I mean, there's always been a battle against powers and principalities.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just an opinion.
I think
that
they've just
like,
become a lot more cunning.
Yeah.
Than in the back in the day, because it's like witchcraft is right in your face. It's like,
true. Everyone knew it was witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. you know, but AI, VR, technology, it's, they're like just subtle idols.
Accessibility, you know? Yeah, like
because they come under the guise of I actually need this.
Yeah,
you know, like my phone, like, and I don't necessarily am saying that about maybe every phone. Like I do think that in a sense, you kind of need your phones, especially in like
they the, got them.
You know, see, him. Like maybe it doesn't sound that got me
done for.
Got yeah. me.
Pray for Nate.
Yeah. I mean, it really just depends.
Pray for somebody.
Because, like, me personally, I don't want to say I need my phone for
Cash
work. yeah. I don't want to say I need my phone for work, but it's almost a necessity for, like, what I do for
yeah, what
for
are you going to do? Send a
yes.
smoke signal?
Yeah, exactly.
To the next client?
Like, I literally text and call my clients.
Yep.
And
I'll buy some pigeons.
You know, like, literally part of my job is to set up their, like, cars to have it set up with their phone.
Yeah.
And I need to do that like through my phone. It's an online thing that I have to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just something of like texting and calling, like, you know, just get a flip phone. It's like, no,
I still need...
Like, you still need, like, an iPad. Yeah. Or you just get another screen.
Right. Yeah. It's just, yeah. It's like substituting my phone for just, yeah, exactly, like, another screen. It's like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I was saying, because even in my job, like, we need roofer. Like, we need roofer in order to get the measurements for our roofs. And then we also need, in order to organize all of our things in one simultaneous thing, like, we have rep card. Was where we put our documents and our attachments. Yeah. And then we have Trello, where we put all of our jobs. And it's like, then...
And then right next to Trello is YouTube and the next Mr. Beast video.
Yeah, that's like, what the freak?
And then there's another 45 minutes of your life.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm like... It's a really annoying little dilemma. It's almost like...
I just think our generation and the next generations have... more accessibility and more temptations than ever before.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so easy to soul your mind, so easy. Like, back then, like, what was it? Like, yeah, either read your Bible or go plant some potatoes.
Play soccer.
Yeah, or go knit, you know? Like, it wasn't a whole lot of options, you know? Like,
go knit, bro.
Go hang out down by the creek.
Yeah.
You know?
Go churn some butter.
Don't be bad.
Go make handmade ice cream.
I mean, like, as time has gone by, I mean, it's nice to have all these, like, conveniences. I don't know what to do with everything that's happening, except just, like, filter out those things with the things that you know is right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we know that the finer things in life take some cultivation,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for example, like, a lot of us now, like, we're faced, like, whenever we get home... We're faced with a dilemma of, I know I should probably be reading my Bible or my book, the next chapter of whatever I'm reading, or, you know, scroll on my phone for the next 2 hours. And you know, like, it's really just like, so I actually have some notes here. I'm just going to read it. So, like, really, it's like if you prefer ground beef to steak, right?
Yeah.
If someone were to prefer ground beef to steak, it doesn't mean that ground beef is better. You know, it just means that you either have poor taste or that you've never had a good steak.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's all it is. Because I love, if you know me, I love steak.
Yeah, like a Brian.
Yeah.
He likes ground beef more.
But so it follows. Taste. Yeah.
He has poor taste.
90% lean.
Yeah.
I like it.
But it also follows that, like, if you're bored with your thoughts of God, right? If you're bored with your thoughts of God, then maybe you just have bad taste, or maybe you've just never really met him.
Yeah.
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 You know? Mm. And so, like, whenever we're faced with these decisions, we have to realize what dog are we feeding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, like, are we just, like, consistently making choices too? And maybe it just comes down to the choices that we're making.
Yeah.
And just like yesterday with the resource guys, we were just talking about behaviors that come from a godly man, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just making the right decisions, you know, the tough decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
I remember one of the things that you had told us, Brian, in a house meeting was that you would see your dad get home after a long, grueling day in the sun, at least 12 hours, if not more. And he would come home and he would still cut his own grass. He would still wash the dishes, make sure that he spends time with you guys and your siblings. And that's just something that a godly man does, even though it's hard, you know? Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, you just take care of responsibilities. Like, you do well with what you're responsible for. And I think we're all responsible for our walk with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, thank God we have leaders and mentors and small group leaders and whatever. But, like, I'm responsible for my walk with Christ. And I think what ultimately will make... like, what I define as a godly man is that, am I going to hold myself accountable to these responsibilities I have? Like, it's a non-negotiable, you know? And I'll be honest, like, I don't always fall through with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, the more you start to get in line with those habits, those practices of, man, I know, like, it's a non-negotiable. I have to spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
I have to give time to my family. Like, I have to, like, get my responsibilities in line, like, do you know what I'm saying? And once you practice those for long enough, lo and behold, 20 years down the line, like, you just are a godly person. You know, you don't.
Yeah.
You just you've become your habits.
Yeah.
And it's true of everything. Like I think the reason wealthy people are so successful and like cunning and like attractive, like as in like, you know, everyone wants to see what they're saying, it's because they put a lot of these principles into their own life. Like they've become their habits.
Mm-hmm.
They've created wealth for a reason. They've studied their craft. They've made something. And I think that's in some regard what every Christian amounts to, is because every Christian is going to have the influence, I'd say, of a really wealthy person, but a spiritual wealth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you put these habits, these practices into play time and time and time again. And next thing you know, like 10 years later, you have your job, you have your family, your house, but all of a sudden everyone looks up to you. Everyone loves you. You're just an influential person in the community, but you just become the fruit of your habits.
Mm-hmm.
You're a wealthy person by all means of the word, like spiritually. Yeah. Maybe financially. I don't know. You've just made the right decisions. You know, you didn't,
right.
You have a good credit score, you know, like you don't gamble.
Yeah.
You just, you know what I'm saying? Like you just took care of what you needed to take care of. You got a savings. You're taking care of your kids, your house.
Yep.
You tithe, you give, like you're just a well-rounded person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking of like so whenever we were talking yesterday with the resource guides about like the differences between like, you know, the boyish behaviors, a worldly man's behaviors, and then a godly man's behaviors, like things like as simple as what about sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, is there something in the Bible that talks about you should get this amount of sleep? It's like, I don't think so, but I think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to like assume that it's a godly man behavior to get 7 hours of sleep. You know what I mean? But it seems like a responsible thing to protect that, because it like gives you a healthier following day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So what do you say about that?
There's a chapter in spiritual leadership, and it talks about how a spiritual man doesn't waste a minute. And there's a story of Oswald Sanders, and he literally counts his minutes. Like, he literally was like, all right, I'm going to do, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to do this. And then his kid was like, oh, do you want to go on a walk? And he's like, all right, then we're going to go on a walk for 10 minutes. And he wouldn't tell him that, obviously, but like in his mind, he's like, all right, we're going to go for 10 minutes. And he walks with him, and he's like, all right, for the first 5 minutes, we're going to talk about this. And then for the next, we're going to, you know, and obviously like that kind of seems extreme, but he's like, he's not wasting a minute. He's not wasting, he's not wasting time. Every moment has purpose. And I'm saying a very extreme example, because I feel that a lot of people in this generation don't have great time management skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We don't really understand. And it's because all of the conveniences that were put in our life to save time, actually, like whenever cars were built, people were thinking that they were only going to have to work 3 or 4 hours a day when cars were made. But then cars were made and we're still, you know, like we're still working a whole bunch, you know, like 8, 12, you know, like hours a day. And it's because like, we're just in a really busy age where we're just doing everything and anything, you know? And time management, especially as you get older, it becomes really important, because the more responsibilities you get, it's, you know, so it's, I do think that there is a, kind of like what you were saying about, there's something about choosing to do the responsible thing, not when you have to. You know, like not when you like absolutely have to, like now like that I'm older and now that I have a kid and and I'm forced to now be disciplined. I'm forced to now be responsible. But there's something about choosing to be responsible when you're not in the season.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not when you're not forced to be responsible with now having a kid and now having a wife and now having like you have multiple things that you're juggling, whether it's ministry, work, family, anything. It's like, there's something about that. Like, and when Caleb was talking about that yesterday, I was like, wow, that's really true.
So Dave Ramsey, he did this. His whole thing is that he did a study. Him and his team did a deep, like deep, like statistical study on X amount of millionaires in America, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, what I was trying to do, me and my team were trying to do, is find the things that they all had in common. And, you know, obviously that's his whole course. I don't know if you want the things that they had, go buy his course. I don't know. It's this like, is
Dave Ramsey?
Dave Ramsey, yeah. He just found out the things that all these wealthy individuals do that made them, like, what were the practices. But I'd say if you were to do a deep dive into this, like, a study into just the godliest men and women that have ever lived, it's time is, their time is everything.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it reminds me of that movie. You guys seen that movie, In Time?
Oh my lord, yeah.
Where they have like the time written down on their on their forearm.
It's a great movie.
And like everything costs time, like a cup of coffee is like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Or is it 4 minutes?
He's like playing poker or something like that with like
He's like gambling like with
years.
His
years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then like he has like 10 seconds and like he's gambling literally with his life and then he wins.
And then he wins.
He gets like a 1,000 years.
It's like rent. Yeah. He's like, oh, rent's due, man. I owe 30 days, you know?
Right.
But
that's crazy.
I remember reading something about like this guy basically made the movie so much better by saying how much better it could have been. They're like, dude, they were playing with one of life's like greatest principles. Like time is such. And there's this, someone said, is like, if I offered you $50 million, would you take it? Of course you would. Now, if I said I would trade you that $50 million for the last 24 hours of your life, meaning like tomorrow you die, like, would you still take the $50 million? Mm-hmm. No. So what does that tell you? That tells you that 24 hours, like you're like the next day, being alive the next day is more valuable than $50 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how valuable your time is. And, you know, honestly, I think, you know, obviously someone we all admire, Johnny, we were at our priority training the other day, other week.
I forgot about this. Sorry.
Hey, all right,
go
I couldn't ahead. Hear it, but I assume you hit a button.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm assuming it's a okay. Okay.
But he said he was talking about how like valuable your time has to be. Like he was saying, like he's not gonna waste 15 minutes doing something else that's gonna be costing him more over here. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's so it's. And I think that's true about everything. Like, if you give your time to something, it means something else is not getting your time.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you choose to give your time to? And we're having this conversation not because we're all perfect participants of these principles, but it's like, this is what's true. Like, I need this reminder today that what I give my time to is everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, even coming to this, like, this podcast, I knew... Like, I wanted to be here because I'm like, I know we're going to talk about things that I might push to the back of my mind instead of the forefront.
Yeah.
But now I promise you, I'm going to be thinking about these things tonight for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And only till the rest of the week. That's how long the time span is. Like, after that, we need to start over. I was kidding.
So our podcasts are going to be coming out every week now.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. So that we can keep remembering.
No,
keep failing.
And I think that's why in Hebrews it says, like, do not neglect the meeting of, like, your brothers and sisters. Like, do not neglect the meeting of, because, like, that's why we need church every week. Like, when you ask yourself, why do we do the things and who, like, why do we go every Sunday? It's because, bro, you got about, actually not even 7 days anymore. Like, you need a small group somewhere in the middle. You need a Bible study. You need a coffee with a friend. Like, we need to always have our mind on something, and we need practices to help us, or else we're screwed.
And we talked a little bit yesterday. Sorry, Nathan. I know you're about to talk, but I think it's going to go here, so I'm going to let you speak
after
me.
Go for it.
We talked a little bit yesterday about intentionality, and it kind of reminds me of something that we used to say, because it's so true, and that's that, like, I would rather spend less time with you, but that time be much more intentional than if I spent a whole day with you.
You just do nothing.
And you just do nothing with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and so, like, and I think that's, like, what a, like, as we mature, that's one thing that we have to realize, is that, like, we have less time to give to others, right? That's we just do have less time to give. And so our intentionality goes skyrockets. Mm-hmm. It has to. If not, like, we're not intentional. Like, we're like, not being, like, wise with our time, you know? And Yeah, I think just intentionality itself is like the biggest factor here.
Yeah, which honestly I think is a blessing in disguise, because now, yes, we don't have more time to give to people, but we have more like quality time.
Yeah.
More like time that actually matters, mm-hmm. you know, less time that's just kind of farting around, which I don't think that farting around is a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? I think like, yeah. Like,
there's a time for it.
There's a time for farting around. Mm. But now you have less time to fart around when you have more responsibility. No more farting. So, but,
you know, if you really want to get this concept of valuing your time pretty well, go listen to the country song by Cody Johnson, Till You Can't. Mm. You can't tell me that
Johnny's Johnny
all song. Country music.
Really?
Johnny's favorite
is it his
song.
Favorite song?
I think so.
I remember he's told me he's listened to it. It's so
that's
funny because
so
it's actually not his favorite song, but
it's a really good song.
Yeah, it's a really good song.
Is it
ride with me? Ride?
No,
I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing.
No, he's talking about how like. You know, if you got a dream, chase it, because the dream's not going to chase you back. Like,
yes.
He's like, it talks about, like, you know, pick up the phone, call your mom, because one day you won't be able to. Like, if you got to do this thing, do it. Like, you want to marry the girl, like, just do it. Like,
yeah.
Because you're going to wish you did it until you can't. Like, I don't know. You're going to wish you had the time to do it.
Right.
I don't know. Don't. But, yeah, mm-hmm. it's a simple song. It's a country song.
Yeah.
That just reminds you, like, bro, your time is... Valuable. So valuable. They like a 10-minute phone call with
bro Cody Johnson's actually kind of fire.
Your parents, you know, like
he's kind of cool
checking up on your cousin who, you know, I don't know, like it's just the intentionality of time. Yeah.
Talking about time, there's a song by Fleet Foxes. I don't know if anyone knows. I know that Jamin knows what I'm going to talk about.
Fleet Foxes.
Shout out Jamin.
But there's a song called "In the Morning" by the Fleet Foxes. And the whole concept of the song is basically if life was a 6 to 6 day or 6 to 9, 10, whatever, if it was a 6 in the morning all the way to 10 at night, if it was that long of a day, it's still the morning. Like I'm 24. You know, and I think that we get in our head sometimes because now I guess I'm playing devil's advocate. Yes, we don't have a whole bunch of time, but at the same time, like that could be also very like daunting and being like, man, I'm 24 and I still haven't done this and I still haven't done that, haven't done this, still haven't done that, you know. But and that basically the whole concept of this time is that, or the whole concept of the song is, it's like it's still the morning for me. Like I've just got up and I maybe like got a coffee, like it's 8 o'clock for me, you know, like I'm 24. Mm-hmm. I still even haven't, like, we haven't even gotten to noon yet, you know, it's still the morning of my life, you know? And I was like, wow, that's actually a really, really cool concept. They're not even like Christian. They're just, you know, they're just some really cool, chill group people, but it's like, wow.
It's
like,
true.
But it's like just a cool concept.
I don't know if we did this in the podcast already. Or where was, maybe it was like a race or something, but we were like, oh, but you know, it's all in the balance. And we just kept going back, like, oh, it's all in the balance.
Maybe we did. Maybe it was the
maybe it was the first one.
Was it the first one?
I can't remember.
All in the
balance. I think it was the controversial one.
Oh, it was.
Or we were talking, like, about controversy. We were talking about like the wine or drinking. Remember, we're talking about alcohol.
Hey, bro,
and then after that, you're saying, now that we're talking about latent influences, and now under the influence. Remember that?
Like it's all about balance. So yeah, with the whole time thing, like you remind me of a quote that my dad actually has always said. He says, "Hay más tiempo que vida." Like, there's more time than life. Meaning, like, your life will expire, but time will go on. I don't know where he got that saying from, but he would always tell me that when it was like I was upset that I didn't get to do something. And it was always an annoying time. It's like if I didn't get to go out with my friends and watch the movie because I had to work with him or something like that. Like, mijo, like, hay más tiempo que vida. Like, there's more time than life. Like, there'll be a time where you can go out and enjoy your friends. But, like, today we had to finish work or something. You know, I don't know.
Right. But that's cool.
Yeah, so there is a balance to that too as well. Like, you can't be anxious about, like, I need to make sure every minute is critical.
Exactly what yeah. I want it to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's actually a verse that says, like, don't, what is worrying about tomorrow going to do for mm-hmm. you today? Like, what is that going to do? Like, is that going to add another day to your life?
See, and no, then there's not. A balance, because then you think about it and it's like, oh, some people might read that and be like, oh, then let me just throw away my calendar and not plan.
Man, we were just talking about calendars. And how if you just put the calendar, something in the calendar, your wife is going to love you. Guys, we're actually going to take a break and talk about Calendy, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Calendy. So
who are the sponsors of today's video? Sponsor of today's podcast is Calendy. Nah, just kidding. Sponsor us, Calendy.
I'm just kidding. Do you know how they do that? Like, in podcasts? Like, yeah, they just cut it. Like, so funny. Yeah, we don't have anybody sponsors, so.
Yep.
Logos, maybe? Because we like talking about Jesus? No.
Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and time to give up, a time to keep and time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And I think that what becoming a godly man it means sometimes is just realizing that the things that we used to do might still be possible, but there are other things at the forefront of, like, our priority list.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Like, there's a time to golf. I love golfing. I love golfing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time for it, you know? Like, right now, like, I need to work, you mm-hmm. know? Like, mm-hmm. this podcast is important, you know? Like, my resource, spending time with them, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with my wife, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, things like that. Like, there are things that matter more important than the things that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, like, character things, I think it just helps us grow just maturity as well. Like, I remember, I think it was Johnny at the internship, he gave you and David the challenge of, like, not joking around as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something
mm-hmm.
like that?
I think it was me.
Oh, just you. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, David. Just me. Two years in a row, actually.
Yeah, if you know Nathan, it was a good challenge for him.
It was a good challenge.
It was hard.
I've mellowed out a lot.
But it definitely helped him out. I mean, I also think you came back from New Mexico changed a lot too, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
And that's exactly what we're talking about with responsibility.
100%. Yeah.
You know, like, that was, yeah. Anyway.
Talking about Timex. That's good.
Just buy yourself a watch today. 15% off using our code below.
Iron Collective.
IRON 15.
IRON. Type it down. 15. There you go. Try it. It might work. let's just try it.
Just start saying stuff.
We get an email from them. Hey, we heard you guys were saying y'all had a...
Yeah. Sorry, Timex.
We're actually suing you for everything you got.
You don't got much. You're not getting much. This equipment is borrowed. So.
I got some Hokas.
Yeah.
What else I got?
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple pillows to my name. That's about it.
But anyway... I think that's a good place to wrap up. Thank you guys for...
Wait, I thought we were doing the spiritual Would You Rather.
Okay,
how about this? We'll say we'll do it now, but cut it to the beginning as if we did it at the start.
I'll see if I can do that. I'm not technically advanced, but that's fine. We can just... Let's just go for it. What was the main one?
I got you right now.
The main one, just the one.
The one. My fault. Okay. All right, guys. This is the one, guys. I want everybody to listen. If you guys weren't listening the whole time, which is crazy.
Listen now.
But crazy. You know, lock in right now. Would you rather spend 1 week with Jesus here on earth or an hour in heaven?
Think about it. And you're done thinking because this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer.
All right, let's all say it together.
Yeah.
Three... 2, 1.
Hour in heaven.
crazy.
What?
That's a crazy take.
Look, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Look, I knew it. I didn't say anything because I knew they were going to have different answers.
Listen to me. Everyone listen to me. Brian, listen to me. This is what Brian does. Here, guys. This is what Brian does. Brian says the most outlandish things just to have conversation. This is actually very intentional.
Not to get into that. Just to rage bait. No, I'm just playing.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and tell me your reasoning for your outlandish comment.
You, bro, anytime we have a fire piece of scripture, it's because someone got like 6 minutes of a glimpse in heaven. All of the book of Revelation, okay? Mm-hmm. Isaiah, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. Bro, Daniel, bro, Paul saw the third heaven or something like that. Totally changed, bro. Oh, okay, this isn't even a hot take, bro. This is just, come on, man. Come on. Like, anytime in the Bible where someone gets a glimpse of heaven,
yeah,
that something happens, like, changes history. Like, Jacob saw angels descending and ascending from heaven on a ladder, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, come on, bro.
Nathan, what's your take?
No, this is more fun that you guys don't know what my take is. So we're going to start with Caleb.
Yeah. What do you mean? So Caleb, would you say, was it 10 days, Jesus?
On no, a week.
A week?
A week a with week. Jesus or an hour in heaven. Okay, so now just Caleb. Read the Bible, no.
Look, he was here for like 33 years.
Here's the thing. I understand how like life-changing that is. But if you think about it, it's a little bit selfish. Okay? A little bit selfish. It's just you. Right, and you can take it. You can take it. You can
are
write
you
a book.
Me?
Wait,
and change is the second most influential man in history, bro. You're telling me.
Okay, so okay. You want to be influential? That's selfish. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, bro. That little kid said he was 90 minutes in heaven.
What little kid?
And they made a whole movie about it. And
he was dead. He didn't have a choice.
Bro, 90 minutes in heaven, and it's one of the most.
No, that's I'm sorry.
Influential books, movies.
It's a great point. Like, I really do think there's really no losing in this situation.
No, there's not.
I just think that I think there's just so much weight to like spending time with Jesus, like his physical being,
mm-hmm.
And like I've heard the argument of like, well, you know, like we have Jesus in spirit form. It's like, yeah, I understand that, but like physically here with us, like to like teach us, like maybe show us things that we don't know, ask him questions, like we can take him to other people as well, and like.
No, what a ludicrous train of thought, bro. He literally said, it's better for me to go. Someone better is coming. We have... Oh, my gosh.
No,
bro.
I love this, guys. I'm so happy right now.
Bro.
I'm not going to say
Jesus
anything.
Literally said, it'd be better for him not to spend 10 days with us.
Wait. Is that really...
He said, someone better than me is coming. Yeah, it's better for you that I go.
It does say that. It's better that I go because someone better is coming. Like,
so it's like if Jesus thought that.
Yeah.
You know, then we technically.
Maybe there is a right answer.
Someone. Oh, what I was thinking was someone greater than I. But that doesn't say that, though, right?
What?
Someone greater than I.
Something like that, yeah. I'm sending you the advocate.
It does say something like that.
No, I don't think it does.
It is better for you that I go.
I don't know. Nathan, what's your take?
No, it's more fun than I'm like this. Right here in the middle. I'll be Switzerland. No, just kidding. No.
Nobody likes Switzerland.
No, I know. I remember somebody said that. I forget.
Swiss cheese.
What do I think?
You're not going to want to come back down, dude.
The thing is, this is all I'll say. Both is cool, and I'll just speak to both. I'll just speak to both. Like, I think Jesus, it'd be really, really cool for him to be here. And I guess in my scenario, when I think of the question, I'm like, I'm waking up Jesus is there. We're like bunk buddies for a week. This is my scenario. And I think that'd be really cool because like some of the things that you were saying, like I could feel, touch, you know, all that stuff. I could see him. I could, you know, which a lot of the things, a lot of the things that, you know, Brian was saying.
Wait, you can see him in heaven?
Oh my God.
Who came up with this question? He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father.
Look at Brian.
Go talk to him there.
You guys can see Brian right now.
No, but, you know. look at him. Yeah. No, but what's it called? Being with Jesus here on earth. I could see how, like, that's, you know, a week with him here. It'd be cool.
Nah, bro, I think we're done here.
It'd be cool. But, what's it called? I think like what you said is true. Like all the stuff that has been revealed, like with Isaiah and all the prophets and John, you know, like in Revelation, like crazy things, Jacob's ladder, all that stuff. I think all those things, yes, that's completely true. I think when I, like an hour into heaven, I think I just want to see truly what the atmosphere of heaven really looks like, you know, like an hour in heaven, you know, like because it talks about angels singing holy, 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 like that's all you're hearing, holy, you know, you go up is like, do I actually, is it like an actual mansion, you know, like is there an actual mansion, is it like, I remember the question, like if you went to heaven it was just God, would you be disappointed? Mm-hmm. It's like what does that look like too? It's like, are we just there, like in front of, you know, does that make sense? It's like, what does heaven look like? You know, what does heaven look like? Like, what are we doing? And then it also says that we're gonna have responsibilities in heaven. What does that mean? Responsibility over what? You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, so go spend an hour in heaven, come back and tell us about it. And I bet it'll change the world.
And look at Brian. It's like, you could write a book and be influential. You could write a book of the Bible. No, just kidding.
Yeah, no, it's called the Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. It's like Joseph Smith. Yeah. No, but I like both ideas. Yeah, I like both ideas.
Nah, bro, I feel like you're joking at the beginning. You really 10 days?
A week.
How many days is a week, Brad?
Oh, sorry. A week.
Nah, bro. You said 10 days.
I get it. I think you look at the Chosen and you're like, man, Jesus.
Man, Jonathan Rumi.
Jesus. On earth. Yeah. You know?
Carving
a stick.
Huh?
Yeah, like, I don't know, just doing human things.
Yeah, doing human things.
I think our world needs that in a sense as well. Like,
yeah.
But then also Jesus.
I think a part of me is like, it would be really cool to see how Jesus would act in this time. Like in this, because it's like in the culture that he was in Jerusalem to the Israelites, whatever, it's like, okay, like he was like that to them. I wonder how he would be at this time, in this generation. If you went to North Central, if you went to the churches of today, what would he do? Because I know some people think that he would flip tables if he went to some churches. Would he do that? Would he serve? And I think that those are interesting thoughts.
You know who has some interesting stuff to say about that?
Who?
John Mark Comer.
Really?
He says that the age-old question, WWJD, because that's in a sense, right, like what you're asking, like, yes, what would Jesus do if he were here?
Yeah.
But he says that, really, that what we should add to that is, what would Jesus do? He says a proper way to ask that question, actually, is to ask, what would Jesus do if he were me?
Because
he says that, like, the whole thing is that, in the new covenant, we are a new creation, a new people now have the spirit of Jesus in us. So it's like, I don't know, how would Jesus be at North Central? I think we just
Look at Nate. I think Lessons was the perfect choice. I think we're the perfect people.
I think he would play drums every week.
Right. He might.
He might. Yeah.
You never know.
He might go play disc golf.
Yeah.
Because it's God's sport.
Yeah. He might. Just might. Nah, I'm not saying this one.
Yeah. No, but it would also answer the question of, like, with the whole phone and distractions thing. Like, what would he do?
I'll be honest, yeah.
Like, would he, yeah, like, get rid of his phone, or would he...
I bet he'd have, like, a flip phone or something.
I bet. Yeah.
And he would, like, you could still, like, talk to him and be like, Jesus, why do you take so long to reply? And then he shows you his Nokia.
He takes a picture with the Nokia.
Seems but like
it. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's a cool question. I do think, I'm not going to lie, I felt that I probably would have said an hour in heaven, but I didn't want to say anything just in case. If this happened, it was fun. I think it was more fun.
Okay, leave your answers in the comments. Totally unbiased. Actually,
I like this. I like
totally
this.
Devoid of what
in the comments.
What was said.
I know brains listen to this. You better
answer correctly.
You better answer correctly. Which is
and do this.
Which is, and then whatever you say, which is not correctly. No, just kidding.
Nah. Okay. Type in what your first initial gut response was.
Yes, first initial gut response. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your first initial gut?
But then once
gut?
You actually think about it, then obviously answer the correct one, which
your
is
your first initial gut.
All we found out today was that I'm not that great of a debater. I believe what I believe. Can I describe why I believe that? Not a lot of times. No.
I'm not that good at it. It's a gut feeling, man.
But do I, you know...
You stand on business?
I stand on business.
You stand on
business. As the Prophet Bieber said, I'm just kidding. Stand on business.
I'm standing on business, man. He said that so he pronounced it. Right. That thing.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
We love you guys. Hopefully it doesn't take another 2 months to upload another podcast. But if it does, just know we love y'all. And... we wish you guys the best.
See you in the next one.
See y'all later.